Save big on everything when you shop at Menards. Upgrade your kitchen today with Clearview Cabinetry. We offer a great selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft closed doors and drawers and with cabinet accessories to match your unique style. View our selection of Clearview Cabinetry on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer and find plenty of great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Friday morning, everybody. How about it's Friday? Friday is awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome.
Big weekend planned?
Yeah. PGA what? Championship.
Yeah, other than?
Frankie's moving to Washington, so that's right, Art. Frankie's going to be working in Congress.
Does she have a job yet?
She has an internship.
Oh, that's good enough.
And she's already got job interviews. So.
You know, I went to Washington for family. We took a family vacation there in 2015. And
you said you don't like golf? What's the matter with golf? Golf's pretty good.
What are you talking about?
You look at golf.
Oh, yeah, I see it. Yes, there's a blonde female host who's golf talking. I see her.
Yeah, she's golf talking.
This just in. TV put pretty people on.
Yeah, yeah.
This is a new concept they're working
okay.
on.
Okay, let's watch golf then.
They're workshopping some pretty blonde girls on a golf channel. Imagine that. But I went to Washington once. I had no idea how freaking humid Washington was.
Yeah, no. They were just there a couple weeks ago. Wendy said, it's exactly like Houston.
It is. And I was so pissed at my wife. Let's go to Washington. Like, all right. Because she knows in the summer, if we go somewhere, I want to go.
To
and
Oregon.
I'm trying to tell my family, wait, there ain't no guarantee we're taking family vacations every summer. Y'all know that, right? Yeah. I ain't coming out of pocket every summer. So we went. But this is when we'd go with. Like her family. So it was me, my wife, my kids, and then her family. And then we would go somewhere, and we'd gone to Durango, California, Durango, Colorado, which was great 1 year. And then, you know, we didn't do anything. Then we went to Washington. And then we went to San Francisco another year. Like, okay, you know, we're headed west. The weather's cooler.
Yeah.
Then she goes, I really want to go to Washington. The monuments. And my wife is a historian. She loves history. Loves, loves, loves history. I'm like, you know, okay, that's fine. So we go to Washington, and I get out of the car. Or no, we flew there. And I'm like, what is this? This isn't a respite from the Houston heat. It was humid. It was hot. I was like, what? What? Now I've got to walk around outside, look at monuments all the time that I've already seen. What? Well, your kids, my kids are young at this time. Like, man, don't take me to places where it's humid.
It's really,
it's humid.
It's like a swamp there.
It's not that different than Houston from a weather standpoint. Yeah. It really
was. No, it's not. It's not at all. It's funny though. They went and they said, you can't even get near the White House. They blocked off all the streets leading to the White House. You can't even get near it.
Did Frankie get tear gassed or tear gas anyone?
She didn't tear gas anyone.
Okay.
She did get a new TV, though, with the looting. So that was nice.
She did?
Oh. So, see, now I started this, and Bill O'Brien has picked it up. Did you see this quote yesterday? The question was, what kind of mismatches do you hope to create when you have running back David Johnson and Duke Johnson on the field at the same
two
time?
Running back question.
What do you expect from David Johnson overall? We've worked hard in the offseason to come up with different packages relative to some of the things we've done in the past. Some of those packages obviously involve David Duke. And I was like, yeah.
He didn't say David Duke, did he?
Yeah, it was like that. Something like that. Both guys are, I believe, three down backs. They can play on all three downs. The David Duke backfield. Hello. Hello. Okay? So, I'm just saying, I started something that I think is going to catch fire in the city of Houston and on Kirby. I'm pretty sure. So, how you like not having Osuna now? You happy about that? You happy about not having Osuna last night? Okay. How'd that work out?
Really great.
Did it work out really great?
Somebody called Ryan Pressly Luke Gregerson.
Yeah, someone did call him that because it was awful. it was really, really. Now, dude's not. He's just not ready. What, can't we put in another? Can we find another?
Seemed a little early.
A BLAC or a. Didn't we have another Brandon laying around somewhere?
BLAC was, you know, he started.
So he did start, and he played. He pitched pretty well.
Yeah, he pitched pretty well.
Yeah,
he pitched pretty well. I mean, it was not. That was not terrible at all.
No, shut up, ball. I think I'll take five innings out of BLAC.
Your boy Cy Snead needs to get designated.
Yes, he's not. Cy Snead just he
just because he has the name Cy doesn't make him a good pitcher. Time he gets the DFA and they bring somebody else.
Right. And how's my boy Brandon? How's my boy Blake Taylor doing? Pretty good. How's a scrub doing? Pretty good.
Well, Blake Taylor got hit around a little bit yesterday.
Well, but did he give up any runs, Lance? What is the goal? To not give up any runs?
Runs? Well, no, he didn't get them. Snead did.
Yeah. No. Right. Well, what are you going to do if Snead can't do anything?
I mean, Snead got
gives
the runs.
Up three hits in a third of an inning.
Yeah, but Taylor wasn't. Yeah, because Taylor couldn't.
Taylor couldn't hold. He didn't exactly get a hold, did he?
No.
So, but it's this bullpen is just. I mean, it's like 12 rookies.
The simulated season tried to warn you.
Guess how the A's are welcoming the Astros to town? Oh, the fans are going to fly a cheating banner over the stadium.
I don't care.
Yeah.
Good. I hope it costs five times. You're going to have to do that when your housing prices are like. $900,000 for an apartment
in
you
Oakland?
Can afford to fly a freaking
in Oakland
cheaters band. Oh yeah. Oh, Oakland too. Yeah. Now, if you watch the new Last Chance U, the gentrification has gone hardcore over the last 2 years. In the Last Chance U this year, it's not Independence, Kansas, it's not Mississippi, it's Oakland. It's a junior college called Laney in Oakland, and these kids don't get scholarships either.
Oh, yikes.
They don't get scholarships.
And how are they supposed to live?
Well, one kid lives in his car. One kid sleeps in his car. Oh, it's not good. It's hard. And half the show is talking about what's happened to Oakland. Like, it's been gentrified, which basically means their housing prices, the people who can't afford to live in San Francisco, which is everybody, now rolls over to Oakland. And so a lot of Oakland is safer now, but it also houses that used to cost $100,000 it was low income housing for them. It was at 100,000 at the time, 10 years ago, or now 800,000.
Cool.
And it just showed the people, they said, we just can't. So they have to move out to the suburbs. So people in Oakland now move out to the suburbs, and one kid has to drive 90 miles every day into school. But he's also going to, Oregon State. You got to see who he is. He was Baylor was recruiting him. He goes to, if they play, he'll be a starting corner with his brother at Oregon State. But it's this coach wasn't as bad as Jason Brown. He's a little bit of a yelling screamer, but he's been in. It was more professional. Like this is not a total bleep show. But I will say the Last Chance U curse is alive and well. They won a national championship last year, and this year it wasn't as good for this team. When Last Chance U comes into town, just get ready for things not to go great for you.
Yeah. We had that. How'd your Lakers bet work out for you yesterday?
Lakers great. Where's my sticks?
Where's your Thunder sticks?
Over there.
Oh, your Thunder sticks.
Get my sticks. The Rockets, let me tell you, the Rockets look good. I have some grave doubts about the Lakers' ability to beat the Clippers. Watching the Clippers play, and the Lakers playing without LeBron, but LeBron makes a huge difference. Anthony Davis, as a lead dog, just has no juice. He's so super talented, but he just refuses to impose his will on people. And James Harden is a will imposer. You got to see, so the Rockets were without Westbrook. They just sat him, just kind of a rest situation. He was a little banged up.
He didn't play a lot of back-to-backs. As a matter of fact, I don't think he played any back-to-backs this year.
No, he's banged up, and then you have LeBron is a little banged up, and both coaches they would have played if it was.
I'm surprised Anthony Davis played as long as he did.
Well, I think they wanted to win the game. I mean, they didn't want to be a total mess, and I'm sure the commissioner wants, at least one of the stars playing.
Listen, when you clinch, there's nothing the commissioner can. This is what you do.
Well, so this is the thing. Well, Anthony Davis didn't play a ton of minutes the game before, I don't think, when they also looked terrible.
No, he played 29 the night before.
Yeah, it's not a ton.
Well, he played 30 last night. That's
trust me, he wasn't working
60 minutes of back to back.
He's not working super hard.
No, he's not playing hard.
Trust me.
That was my point about them the night before. Nobody played hard.
This is just a little, like a tiny little scrimmage. They're not actually trying.
Mm-mm.
And the Lakers ancillary players, who are the three best for the Lakers? Kuzma's the third best, right?
I guess.
So when Kuzma's your third best, the Rockets' third best when healthy is going to be Eric Gordon. If you just go to third and fourth best, I mean, it's a joke. The Clippers are substantially better than the Lakers if you want to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If you go 1, 2, 3, 4 with the Rockets, I think you can make a case that the Rockets are right there with the Lakers. The difference is the Lakers have a potentially dominant big, especially when he doesn't have to carry all the water.
Are you sure Eric Gordon's the third best? Are we sure about that?
Yeah, I think so. He's the third option.
He's two up and down.
He's the third option.
He's their third option to score, but it doesn't mean. But look at his numbers. He's so streaky. I mean, if you want to know overall, it's PJ.
Yeah, but this can't be PJ.
Well, it is though.
Yeah, but PJ is. Well, I guess it depends on what you need. As a tiny short rebounder and short defender and a 6'3" center, yes, he is one of the great 6'3" centers in Rockets history.
Well, he's a rebounder. He's a defender.
He's Chuck Hayes with a three.
He's better than Chuck Hayes. Come on, PJ, put some respect on him.
Well, but Chuck Hayes, I thought, was a good player for what he did. Chuck Hayes was a legitimate short post player. PJ Tucker is a short wing player who's tough enough to play in the post. But he's not the third best player on a team that wins a championship.
When we get to that championship thing, then we can decide.
Yeah,
that.
That's not going to be the case. I think, Dale, who do you think is the third best player, Eric Gordon or PJ Tucker? Granted, they're two totally different skill sets.
Importance in terms of if he goes well, the Rockets. Well,
that's
win.
Not the question, though.
No, the best player. He's the third best player.
No, he is potentially the third best player, but Eric Gordon, he hasn't played like that. He has not been the third best player.
PJ Tucker is a streaky shooter who doesn't shoot the ball well.
Yeah, but he does a hell of a lot.
Fine, Eric Gordon's the third best player.
Yeah, but Eric is the third. NBA general managers would take him if they said, all right, name the guys you would take in order of
realistically,
the
however. I know. And he would be the third guy that I would take, too. But realistically, looking at it, he has not played near to that.
Let's make it. Well, PJ Tucker hasn't had a great year either. Let's make those two guys tied. So those are your top four.
He's shooting 31.9% from three.
Who?
Eric Gordon. He's a career 37% shooter. That's bad.
37 is not bad.
No, 31 is.
Oh, relative to. Oh, well, we know. But he was hurt. He had no lift. Remember? It's hard to remember that early in the season where he kept trying to play through an injury. He had no lift on his three, and it was a real problem. Then he came back and shot the ball much better at that point. Now he's potentially got the same issues, so we'll see how that works out. But all right, let's say they're tied for three. So those are your top four players, right?
Right.
All right. How does that compare to the Lakers? It's comparable. Mm. It's comparable. Yeah. Kyle Kuzma and who? I don't know who their fourth best is.
Well, would you rather have Kuzma or Eric Gordon? I don't think there's any question.
I'd probably rather have Kuzma, but I trust Eric Gordon.
Okay, would you ever rather have LeBron or James?
LeBron.
Okay. Would you rather have Anthony Davis or Russ?
Probably Russ. I mean, probably Anthony Davis. But it's definitely Anthony Davis.
That just answered your question.
But here's the thing, though. But basketball's not. It is how the combination plays. And I would say Kuzma has not been great this season. Kuzma, one of the things they talked about in the broadcast is he's got to get back to being the player he was last year. So even though he has talent, Kuzma is not really playing to his ability. And sometimes fitting in when you add a guy like Anthony Davis, well, now it's not easy for him to find a role. With the Clippers, I feel like they know their roles. I feel like they're going to find their roles, and I'm not too worried about it. They were really good in the fourth quarter against the Mavericks yesterday. So I don't know. I mean, the Rockets show when they're hitting threes, the Rockets are a really tough team. When James is playing a confident brand of basketball, and when they're hitting threes,
yeah,
they're no fun. Now, the Lakers beat their brains out on the board for, I don't know what the final rebound total was, but the only reason they were even in a game in the first half is second shots and offensive rebounds. Tiny Rockets are going to be a problem for the rest of the year. But you can mitigate that by not turning the ball over, and by hitting threes.
Mm-hmm. No, no, I didn't. That wasn't none of this is that what you know how good the Rockets are or whatever else. I guess the only thing that I have issue with Eric. I don't know Eric Gordon. It's not. We'll find out whether or not Eric Gordon is the third guy on a championship team because.
No, we won't. Because no. They're not winning.
Yeah, because, yeah, well, we'll see. 714 ESPN 97.5. You know what we're going to find out about is fireworks tonight. Where you find fireworks tonight, Lance?
You're going to find it at Constellation Field. Friday is fireworks night, so you're going to have that. And remember, this isn't home games and road games. These are four different teams filled with A and double A players who are playing at Constellation Field. It's a new energy. It's a Constellation Field league with four different teams. And these teams are managed by guys like Greg Swindell and Kobe and Roger Clemens and Dave Island, who was a pitching coach with the Royals. And, of course, our very own Pete Incaviglia. There's some good baseball being played there. Not only is there good baseball being played there, you are having players plucked from this league and brought up to major league rosters right now. This is like a new minor league system, basically, that is filled with really good talent. And you can go see it. When you go, of course, they do a great job of making sure that you have a fun time, a family time. 2,000 tickets, that's all they sell. Everything is deep cleaned after every single game. So you've got a chance to stay socially distanced and go see some baseball. Get outside and go watch some actual live sports, something you can't do right now with the major league team. And don't forget, they also have suites available as well. Larger suites, smaller parties. It's a way for you to really enjoy yourself. So make sure that you check them out at SugarlandSkeeters.com for tickets and more information. SugarlandSkeeters.com. And don't forget, fireworks night tonight out of Constellation Field.
ESPN 97.5.
Welcome. Big shot.
Hold up, wait.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, reading a story here on Fansided. It's Houston Texans. It's Houston Texans centric. And Patrick Morgan wrote an article about Bleacher Report predicting that the Texans would finish 8-8. Bleacher Report's Christopher Knox shared win-loss record predictions for each club, and he had the Texans pegged at 8-8, the very epitome of mediocrity. Well, okay. Worse still, he gave the edge to both the Colts and the Titans, putting both clubs at 9-7 on the season. Should this happen, the Texans won't make the playoffs. They were 10-6 last year. Divisional round of the playoffs. Jumped out early against the Chiefs and lost. Bill O'Brien has finished 9-7 just once in six seasons, and that was when Deshaun got hurt. Yes, DeAndre Hopkins is gone, but the team that did play the Chiefs are basically still intact. J.J. Watt is back, healthier than ever, and Watson should be even better himself as a pro in his fourth year. Huh. This team, here's what Knox said. This is a team that ranked 14th in scoring offense, 29th in pass defense, and 25th in run defense. While the Texans were above average offensively, they were atrocious at times on the other side of the ball, and Hopkins is no longer around to help Watson in clutch situations. All that is true. All that is true.
You do have JJ full year, but you don't have DJ Reader. Like, how is the run defense going to be a lot better?
Well, it's not going to. Well, 25th last year.
Yeah,
and it's going to be worse. More than likely.
Yeah, the interior is not going to be better.
No.
The interior. So that's a concern. You still have the same linebacking core. In terms of the pass defense, I mean, I don't know. Lonnie Johnson maybe could take a step up. Maybe Conley starts playing more consistent football. The Texans have a way of telling us that the secondary is actually playing well. Like, they have a way of – Bill O'Brien and that team has a way of – I don't ever hear any – they never really – I don't know. Am I wrong? They don't ever mention them as a big, big problem.
29th in the league is a big problem.
No, we know it is because we have eyes in our head. There's eyeball sockets that contain eyes, optic nerves, corneas – rods and cones, the whole nine yards. And as long as they're functioning, you see, hey, this wasn't good 2 years ago, and it wasn't good last year. Remember 2 years ago when everyone's like, Tyrann Mathieu, how are you going to lose him? Like, he was on that same trash-ass secondary that was giving up 400 yards a game. Like, the last 4 or 5 games of the year, they were awful. The secondary was an atrocity. So what they do last year, they went and got scrap heap guys, and they suck still. That's what they did. They played rookies and scrap heap guys who were yanked off other teams like Gary and Conley. They gave up a third-round pick for a first-round washout that Oakland didn't want anymore, an Oakland team that needed cornerback help. They went and got Vernon Hargraves, a first-round washout with Tampa. And they ended up cutting him like, well, let's grab him. And those guys played real minutes. I mean, real reps. So, yeah, they were 29th. Yeah, well, that sounds about right. That sounds about right. I'm trying to figure out how it's going to be a lot different. I hope it's a lot different. I can't figure out from a personnel standpoint why it's going to be different.
I don't know. The Texans finished fifth from last in total defense last year.
I mean, maybe Anthony Weaver, maybe he will.
Well, that's
make a
maybe
difference.
That's why Anthony Weaver is here.
Yeah, maybe Anthony Weaver will make. Well, but I was told that it was all Mike Vrabel's fault that the defense was playing poorly, and you got to get Rack back, and everything would be fine. And it looks like maybe it's a bigger issue. It's a personnel issue.
Points per game, they were pretty good, actually, middle of the pack. For a defense that was as poor as it was, they were actually middle of the pack in points per game, which is the most important stat. So it's a mediocre defense at best. But it does keep you when you're fifth from last, the offense is off the field, they're moving the ball, they're using up clock, and you can't get Deshaun the football back, which happened quite a bit where they couldn't get him the football back.
The third down conversion thing was I'm going to look up third down conversions because that felt like a real problem at times.
Yeah. I don't think that it's outrageous to think that this team is going to be 8-8. I think that they're better than that, and I think that the offense has a chance to be better than 14th overall. But I do. I think that they've got a real chance to be a better offense this year than they were last year.
Sure.
But at 20, they scored 23.8. They gave up 24.1. That's neighborhood.
The big difference is with the offense. With the defense, I feel like we kind of know who most of those guys are. With the offense, there's just some unknowns. Like David Johnson, despite the fact that he really hasn't done anything for quite a while, is still a little bit of an unknown because he's not an older running back. And they say he's in great shape, that he came in great shape. He is versatile. When he was good, he was very good in the NFL. Duke Johnson is a versatile player. He's not an every down back. I know the Texans position him as such, but he never has been at any spot. I don't even think he was every down back in Miami. Dell, was he? Didn't he share carries in Miami? Duke Johnson, if I remember correct?
Not his final year. I think he's the leading rusher season single in Miami history because his final year, he got all the carries.
I liked him a lot. I mean, I had a pretty good grade on him, but since he came into the league, he's been a kind of a committee or a change of pace back, a third down back, stuff like that. I like Duke Johnson, but Duke Johnson is not an every down back, but he can play on every down.
No, David Johnson is an every down back.
Yeah, David has the potential to be an every down back. I think Duke can be an every down back for you. Like, he can play all three downs, but he's not an every down back throughout the game, if that makes sense. But you still have talent in both those guys. I know you have it with Duke. I'm kind of need to see it with David Johnson, but it's not that I don't think it's there. The offensive line is surging. They are, in theory at least, should continue to move upwards just due to the fact that young players are getting better in Howard and Max Sharping.
Mm-hmm.
And Laremy Tunsil, for that matter, as well. Not Zach Fulton so much. I think Nick Martin is who he's going to be. And then when you look at the wide receiving core, there are unknowns. I think we know what Randall Cobb is. Brandon Cooks is a little bit of an unknown for me. I think Randall Cobb can be okay. He can fit in. I trust him more than Kiki QT or anybody else they have in a slot. So it's just a matter of how's Brandon Cooks going to work out? How is Will Fuller going to work out? There's a chance that the offense could actually, but how are they going to do with no true number one wide receiver? I don't know.
I had this discussion with AJ yesterday on our Sports Map video. And it always comes back to health. That's it. It always comes back to health. Because they're all talented. Brandon Cooks is talented. Randall Cobb is talented. Will Fuller is talented.
You feeling Randall's just getting old now, though?
No. He wasn't. He didn't look. Now, he had a lot of drops for Dak last year. He dropped a lot of balls.
He just has not been a big time. I think his name has exceeded his game over the last two or three
obviously,
years.
He was better 4 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'll give you that. But you know what? With more weapons, I'm telling you, with David Duke coming out of the backfield, with how well Deshaun uses the tight ends and Fells, what a weapon Fells was. Fells was the tight end position was a weapon last year. It actually was. Caught a lot of balls. The combination of all the tight ends.
You will 100%. I'm telling you. Well, I don't know how this is going to work because now you've added more wide receivers to the mix. You don't have as good a number one, but you do have, you basically traded in a true number one for two veterans in Brandon Cooks and Randall Cobb. You've got, if Will Fuller stays healthy, there's three. Kenny, once again, I don't think Stills is a lock to make it with the amount of money he's being paid as a fourth receiver.
I don't think Bill cares about Cal's money.
Yeah, well, if it makes, I don't know. It depends on if Cal cares about his money.
That's right.
Maybe not. But if he does make it as a $9 million,
if Bill tells him he's going to keep Kenny Stills and pay Kenny Stills, then he's going to pay Kenny Stills.
Yeah, and I don't think they have a real, like, I don't get the sense that the Texans are the team that really understand value necessarily with contracts.
Oh, really?
Maybe they will. He's under contract.
Did you not see the DeAndre Hopkins trade, Lance?
Like every other team would say, hey, we're not going to pay a fourth receiver this much money. We need to ask him to take a pay cut or we need to. But I just think the Texans will say, well, he's under contract. Who cares?
Yeah.
It's a big deal. Okay. Because we could have that money available for another player, maybe make a deal to shore up our secondary. Maybe that's what we do. Let's free $5 million in actual cash and maybe go look for a free agent that we think can do something. Because you can't trade anymore. You've given away just way too much. And if you trade for a corner anyway, those corners typically aren't players. But maybe you can find a veteran who wants a little too much money. Well, you know what? I'd rather give Kenny Stills his money to a veteran cornerback who could be one of your – you want a fourth wide receiver making that much or a second cornerback making that much? Easy. And for the Texans, whoever you get off a free agent market would probably be a second cornerback. That's how good they would be on this secondary. But my whole point is you do have a number of wide receivers. Kiki QT will have a hard time making this team, I would think. But honestly, the real value could be the tight ends, you were saying.
Yeah.
They said Jordan Thomas come back in great shape. Kahale Waring is not his football IQ is something that needs to be improved. I was told that out of college. I think it's still that way. If you read in between the lines of the things that they're saying, he missed all of last year. But this dude is big and athletic. And then we talked about Darren Fells, and then, you know, you've got Jordan Akins. It was like a former wide receiver playing tight end. I mean, I don't know. I think the value could be at the two tight end set, to be honest with you. I think that could be the value.
7:30 ESPN 97.5. We'll continue on the other side. Don't come over.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
7:32 here on The Bench, 713-780-3776. You guys want to jump in and talk some Texans? Let's do that. It's better than talking. Right now, it's better than talking pitching for the Astros. After getting a little... Here's what's happened. You had the first series against Seattle. We're peacocking around. And then after the Dodgers, is like... And then you played...
Angels.
Yeah, then his Angels.
Beat their ass.
Told you. And then it's like... stupid pitching.
And the... Well, we made the Arizona hitters well. They had like a .208 average when the Astros pitchers got there.
Well, I mean,
and then they started ripping balls off that. I feel bad for that right field fence.
Yeah.
It took a beating.
Yeah.
The other night.
It's not been good.
No. The other night and last night.
And then there were some of the seats in the stands.
And what did I tell you about Cole Calhoun? I hate that dude.
Are we on the Astros still?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cole Calhoun ruined him.
Yeah.
Again last night.
Why have you always hated Cole Calhoun?
Because when he was with the Angels, he used to rip Astro pitching.
Did he really?
He kind of did.
I just don't remember Cole Calhoun as a big factor, but maybe because I don't remember the Angels as a big factor. I don't like you when you beat my team.
Right.
You just get hits and you lose 8-4. Oh, I don't care about you. I don't care about the scrub ass people.
What? Now what?
Oh, I'm hitting 400 against the Astros. Really? What's your win percentage? Good trash can. Shut up.
Well, okay. We'll see what we're going to catch. We're going to catch it in. We're certainly going to catch it.
Oh, my God. Did you see what was trending? No. Did you see what was trending
the
last
Nazi?
Night? No, not that.
The A's Nazi?
I saw the guy in this. Yeah.
You see that? Oh, I guess being a Nazi is better than...
No, this is not worse, but he wasn't a Nazi. That was a whole... He had to apologize and blah, blah, blah. My guess is he did something he thought was funny and the guy's like, don't do that.
You're on TV.
Don't do that, dummy.
Yeah, right.
Don't do that. Because he's like, I never thought that was an elbow salute that we were doing.
No.
It looked like a Nazi salute. But he probably thought this will be funny. And then the camera's on it. And then now you're apologizing. I'm like, please don't fire me, guys. It was just a joking Nazi salute.
Right.
Okay. So this is what I was going to say. 9,000 tweets yesterday, which is, grand scheme of things, not a ton. But Jose Altuve was trending. And I'm like, Jose Altuve's trending. Let me just
see. Why? What did Altuve do?
Literally, everyone is ragging on Altuve about his hitting. About him hitting 146, like, looky here. This is just like what we talked about. If you do not get off to a start, and everyone's looking at the numbers for Springer, they had the combined numbers of Springer, Bregman, and Altuve, conveniently heading into the Arizona series. Mm-hmm. Altuve was smacking it around yesterday, and Georgie, you know, has started to get well. But everyone had, it's like
except
a
the
ton
wrist now.
Of stats showing Altuve, and I'm like, okay. And I even put something on Twitter. Imagine deciding that you're going to get on Twitter and start going after Jose Altuve's numbers as if, like, that's not going to work out good for you. You can say whatever you want right now. If you think when it's all said and done that you'll be on the right side of Altuve can't hit because he was only hitting because he was cheating argument, you're going to – that tweet, you're going to have to delete that tweet.
Yeah.
Delete that tweet.
Yeah, at some point you're going to have to – You're going to have to walk that back.
Delete it.
Yeah. You're going to walk that back.
Screen cap, then somebody on there, like Astros fans, like, I'm screen saving everybody that's saying stuff right now. I'm catching the receipts for all of y'all because it's not going to go well for you.
No.
It's not going to age well.
That's why I have
Jose Altuve. But we knew it was coming.
I haven't been worried about it. We haven't talked much about it at all, but he has been really, really scuffling. He doesn't look good at all, but he's Jose Altuve. He's going to hit just fine. And then last night, he opened it back up again with three hits.
Yep.
Bregman had a couple as well. And the home run. This team is going to be fine. It's starting off 6-6. Normally, you know, years past, what's wrong with this team? Well, you know what's wrong with this team? No Justin Verlander, no Urquidy, now no Osuna, no bullpen. You got 10 freaking guys that made their major league debut this week. So it's a real problem. You got to take it all with a grain of salt. They'll be fine. But they're going into Oakland. Oakland's a good baseball team. It wouldn't surprise me at all. Astros don't finish second in this division this year. Wouldn't surprise me at all that the A's win the division.
No, it wouldn't be crazy. Uh-uh. It wouldn't be crazy. I tell you, Seattle's going to be interesting down the road.
Down the road.
Yeah, they're not right now, but I'm keeping an eye on them because they've got some young, like, hey, I remember when the Astros kind of had some of this little stuff going on where they had a couple of live arms and they've got, you know, a couple of hitters, decent young hitters. So that's one to keep an eye on down the road. But, yeah, the Altuve thing, I'm not worried at all about Jose Altuve. I am worried about everything that we've been worried about, which is going to be pitching staff. What really concerned me, I don't know, how concerned should I be about Lance McCullers getting rocked in an inning? Because the thing that McCullers struggles with is, I think when things when things are going good, he gets on a roll. When things start going against him, sometimes, and we saw this, you know, you can go back to 17 and see it with the hit by pitch stuff that he was struggling with in his start. When things don't go well for Lance, sometimes he has a harder time fighting through that adversity and overcoming it. The guy, I'm not comparing it to, but the worst I've ever seen at that, the guy that would look great and then just terrible was Pete Monroe. You remember when Pete Monroe, it wasn't Pete Monroe. It was Tim Redding. Tim Redding would be like, hey, Tim Redding, he looks good in these first three innings. And as soon as there were two men on base, he's like, oh my God, oh, what am I going to do now? And he would, four runs. It was a given. As soon as he faced any adversity, Tim Redding went straight to hell.
Man, I am having a real problem. You're comparing Lance McCullers to Tim Redding.
No, he's not the same. Okay. He's not the same. But right. Tim Redding could – but that's the thing that McCullers has to get past. And, yes, you open up the stadium.
Their body types are similar.
You open up the stadium, and, yes, the ball flies out. What are you going to say? There were seven home runs after they opened up the roof. Yeah. Obviously, it was an issue. But then you got to stay down in the zone. I mean, you just –
Well, he looked so good for Well, maybe he just gives you.
He had three perfect innings.
Maybe he's your opener. He gives you three innings.
No, we can't.
Second time through the lineup.
No, he's got to be Garrett Cole.
We got to bring in Blake Taylor.
He's got to be Garrett Cole.
Or a Brandon. We got to get one of the Brandons in there.
Who's the Justin Verlander this year?
Christian Javier.
Yeah.
Have you seen him?
The rookie. I've seen him. I've seen all two games.
Learn all about him.
I've seen all two games he's pitched.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And now we got Greinke. Thank you, tonight.
Greinke's the Greinke.
He's.
I have to be told about how. I have to be told about how great Greinke is all the time, and he can barely even get to the fifth.
What are you talking about?
Greinke is great. I guess he's coming out again in the five and a third.
What are you talking about? He pitched great last time out.
He makes like $40 million, and he's coming out. Greinke almost made it to the sixth.
He's only given up
four runs.
Okay.
Greinke ball. I'm not a big. I don't know.
I'm all about.
I'll let you guys decide if Zach Greinke is this elite pitcher still. He's not.
Oh, look
at Zach Greinke's not an elite pitcher.
Oh, we missed Mike Fiers. What a puss. He didn't want to pitch. Oh, he's scared? Yeah. Because I'm sure Brantley will take off his head with a line drive. Yeah. Everybody's trying to hit right back at the pitcher. Oh, what a wuss. He wouldn't even pitch against.
What do you think? Nothing would happen.
Nothing would happen.
Nothing would happen if Greinke.
They won't. I don't think they'll. Exchange pleasantries?
No. I don't think they'll do. If they say something, they'll just be like, "Bitch." It'll be like sideways stuff because you want to do it too loud because A, you were the team cheating, but B, more importantly, the commissioner already came down hard on another team for messing with you potentially. So he ain't going to have you going after the whistleblower.
Well, how are you going to go after him? He doesn't bat.
Well, you can't. But I mean, just even getting in his face or yelling at him or whatever, they're not. There will be a warning, and then you'd get thrown out of a game if you kept doing that. So
6-6 right now. Yikes. But you got – well, you're at the A's. Then San Francisco and Seattle come here. That'll be nice. And Colorado. You got a nice long homestand coming up after this. And we all know the Astros hit better at home.
So
I don't know why, but they just do.
Verlander's been out for, a week now? So he comes back in a week? Is that when he's back?
Have we heard that?
Well, he hasn't pitched since July 24th.
So yeah, supposed to be out 2 weeks.
Two weeks.
We're almost
He's back.
2 weeks, he's back.
He's back.
It's not
Well, game. He'll probably take
Valdez's
spot tomorrow in the lineup. In the rotation.
Oh, he's in Oakland right now?
He probably is. We don't know. You don't know.
No, I'm asking.
Where he is?
That's why I asked you. Is
Chandler Rome's going to keep having reports?
If not, he can fly his
Justin
private
Verlander
jet there.
Justin Verlander is not with the team. Justin Verlander's not with the team. Dusty, are you? I love Chandler Rome. Dusty, are you expecting Justin Verlander to make his first start?
It's 2 weeks. It's 2 weeks, Dusty.
It's been 2 weeks from when he just had some slight discomfort in his elbow, and I reported it was Tommy John potentially out for the year. And forearm strain. Verlander came out on Twitter and was like, "Nah,
it's a forearm strain."
Verlander's like, "Nah, son, I'll be back."
You know, I think would be a remedy to the Astros season, a COVID outbreak. Because if you get COVID, you get shut down for 2 weeks. Either Justin Verlander's come back, or you just sign a bunch of guys who we've never heard of, and then you go sweep the Orioles like the Marlins have done. The Marlins are 6-1 with guys we've never
Yeah.
Freaking heard of.
Right?
Yeah. So maybe a COVID outbreak.
Maybe COVID. Maybe COVID's the answer.
Yeah.
I don't feel like COVID is the answer.
It could be. You don't know.
The best team in baseball got struck down with COVID and is 6-1.
Thank you.
I don't think COVID is going to change the Astros' pitching woes.
Well, if you get new pitchers in here.
I don't know where they're coming from. I feel like teams.
Well, the Marlins signed a bunch of guys off the street, and apparently it doesn't matter for them.
No.
We've got a bunch of guys
like
off the street.
Seattle starting 11-2 last year. I have a feeling that it's not going to last. I don't know.
Well, they're playing the
They're East. A 10th through the season.
The 10th through the season is that means they only have what? They only have like 53 games to go.
They missed so many games, so it's actually probably a fifth through the season.
Yeah. But they play the East, not a great part of baseball.
No.
Got the Nationals who aren't great right now, the Phillies, the Mets, and then you look at the AL East. The Rays aren't great, but people think they're good. Orioles aren't good right now. Blue Jays stink. Red Sox stink. It's not like their schedule is going to get demonstrably harder.
No, that's true. But they still suck. They'll find a way.
Best team in baseball, John.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. 7 games in.
Yeah, well, there's only 60 of them.
That's true. That is that. No, you're right about that. And actually less for them.
Yeah, only 53 left. So.
That's it.
7 games in is a big part of the season.
No. They ain't going to play 50. They ain't going to play 60. They're probably going to play about 54.
I thought they set up like a 7-game series for them to have doubleheaders. Yeah.
Do you imagine? If every team. Okay. What are the odds? Today's what are the odds Friday, right?
No, that's not a thing.
Forecasting the odds Friday.
Okay.
That every team plays 60 games.
No. No chance.
No chance?
If you get to a point where
because outbreaks might happen again, but the Marlins have their games rescheduled. They're back on the schedule to play those games. What happened? The likelihood of getting them all in.
Didn't the Yankees pick up Philly instead, more games with Philly instead of the Marlins? I think they actually replaced Marlins games with Philly games.
I'm looking at the Marlins schedule in September. They have 7 straight games versus the Phillies. Yeah. So they set it up yesterday where they're making them up. They have like a 5-game series versus 2 5-game series versus Washington to make up.
I'm going to tell you why I don't think so. Even though I do think the shaming of which is important, the shaming of the Marlins and the shaming of the Cardinals for doing stupid ass stuff. You got to shame them so that other teams go like, I don't need this heat to get my entire team sick and we have to cancel games and all that stuff. I think that helps. Maybe be less likely. However, this disease, COVID, is so unbelievably contagious. I have a couple of friends who literally live on an island where there have been no cases for 3 months and they somehow got it.
No way.
Yeah. You know who? I don't want to say that loud.
Yeah.
They somehow got it after no cases for like over 90 days. They have no idea how. Literally no idea how. And they're like, man, this is just unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. We got to take a break. Listen, if you want to sell or buy a home, you want to achieve top dollar for your home, you need an agent who can create an auction-like effect. And here's the deal. That's what happens with the Loken Group, because they have more access to more buyers and more sellers than anybody. And this is the best time to sell your home. This is a seller's market now because there's so many buyers out there. So many people looking to buy right now. This is the best time to sell your home. Lance Loken says, if you really, really, you got to call these guys because this is the best time. If you just want a shorter commute, that's fine. If you're starting a new job as a teacher, and that's what happened with Francesca. She had 13 showings and 4 offers of her home. They helped her get $6,500 over list price in just 4 days. This happens all the time. Call the only agent in Houston I would call if you need to sell or buy a home, and that is the Loken Group. Immediate cash offer right now. If you don't want to go through all the rigmarole, that's okay. You can get an immediate cash offer from Lance Loken. And he makes all kinds of promises involved, that he will buy your home. If he doesn't sell your home, he'll leave no questions asked. That's just fine. He will be guaranteeing that he is going to get you. I'm telling you, you are going to love working with Lance Loken. Most agents don't start marketing your home until after you sign the listing agreement, but Lance has started the marketing processing before he meets with his clients. He's gathering buyers as we speak to buy your home right away. You're looking for the best, and just no argument, it's the Loken Group. part of the Keller Williams Platinum Group. TheLokenGroup.com, L-O-K-E-N, TheLokenGroup.com, 281-861-4624.
ESPN. 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, Lance is right. For whatever reason, Jose Altuve, Dan Clark, name a mediocre athlete. I'll start. Post-cheating Jose Altuve.
Yeah, this Dan Clark guy, I don't know who he is. He's from the Baltimore area. He was all over him yesterday. I don't even know who he is.
Okay, he's got a blue check mark, so he's important.
Yeah, but there was a lot of that going on yesterday, the Jose Altuve.
Listen to this from a Dodger fan. The fact that we don't know exactly how they were cheating at away parks doesn't mean they weren't doing it.
Oh,
the Astros have lost all credibility. Shut up. Goodness gracious, you are an idiot. You are literally an idiot.
It doesn't mean we don't know. We haven't figured it out.
We haven't figured out how they were cheating. Yeah, nice hit. Nice homer there, Altuve. Nicely done, buddy. Bernie from Weekend at Bernie's was in the stands at the Royals game.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. That's a pretty good one. That's
you know, that was a. Do you remember when that was a huge deal with the.
I never saw Weekend
with
at
the
Bernie's.
A's? That's. I mean, it's a Jonathan Silverman movie. It means probably not going to be great, just average at best, but they just roll around with a dead guy.
Hold on. There's some intricacies. You're not really.
I don't really remember it that much. I watched it.
They're just not rolling around with the dead guy.
Well, what do you mean?
Granted, I did boil it down to something.
The dead guy. There's voodoo in play, and the dead guy.
Yeah, that's right.
The dead guy only moves when music is played.
That's right.
Like, if they put him on a plane, they have to drag him along like luggage.
Yeah, because you could see him. Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
And then when they're in the Caribbean, music's always playing at the resort, so he's always dancing.
Yeah.
He's always moving.
That's right. Okay, it's been a long time since
How
I saw it.
How dare you, sir?
And they did do a second movie.
And they did a Weekend at Bernie's, too.
They did a second movie. Kind of like Caddyshack 2.
Caddyshack 2.
Jonathan Silverman was Caddyshack 2.
No, he wasn't.
It's better than Caddyshack.
Swearing everything, he was in Caddyshack 2.
Then he's the worst actor ever.
So my buddy John Pollard, who's with Zebra now, he got to be friends with, this guy's a pretty interesting guy, he got to be friends with Jonathan Silverman at some, so Pollard has worked with some different NFL teams through when he was at Stats. And anyway, he was down in New Orleans, and he was at a bar because he was doing some stuff with the Saints because he's friends with Loomis and Sean Payton. And he met Jonathan Silverman, and they became buddy-buddy. And Silverman's like, hey, man, I got a place. I've got like one of two. There's only two independently owned apartments right off Bourbon Street in the French Quarter. If you want to go, if you want to stay there ever, let me know. He goes, I mostly have it for, you know, for Mardi Gras or whatever, but I got an apartment there. So when we were there for the Super Bowl in 2013, when we were there for the Super Bowl in 2013, Pollard's like, hey, man, come over. I'm staying at Jonathan Silverman's apartment here in the French Quarter, him and this buddy of his. So I went over there. I'm like, holy crap, we're right there. People are walking through. It was Super Bowl week. People are walking through. It got to be a little bit like Mardi Gras at the time.
Yeah,
where
it sure does.
It was
the Super Bowl. Yeah,
it was pretty wild. And he's
when
got
you
a
go
ton
to a
of
national champion, an LSU national championship game there.
He even told, and Silverman told Pollard, he's like, I got a ton of beads there inside this, you know, inside this closet. You got them, and you can throw beads down, and we have beads, and you know what that means when you have a cheap 3-cent thing of beads,
right?
Things
flop out.
I gotta tell you that. I'll finish this story at about 7:57 when we take a break. Yeah. Some other stuff. By the way, the Houston Texans, to finish up on this.
What is that? Wait, he looks just like his sister. I didn't even know who Jonathan Silverman was.
He looks just like who?
Sarah.
Is that his?
It must be. They look almost identical.
I don't think I've ever seen anyone call them, bro.
Oh my God, look at them. They look almost identical.
But they're not. they're not related.
I don't think so.
Yeah. No.
I'd never heard them tied together.
Oh, my God. He looks just like her.
But you've seen him before.
Yeah. No, yeah. I really hadn't.
Really?
No.
Okay. Well, he was in some stuff. But, yeah, this apartment was pretty cool. Like, you know, it was right there on the French Quarter. It was pretty
nice.
It's not, and Pollard's like, oh, you can sleep here if you want. And I'm like, yeah, it's not going to be a lot of, it's going to be super noisy. You're literally off of Bourbon Street. I don't know how in the
world.
That's
awesome.
You keep, yeah, but, yeah, I'll tell you some of the other stories.
Well, those are nice stories.
Yeah, his friend gets you in trouble.
You tell me that doesn't look like Sarah Silverman?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit does, but they're not.
They're not related.
They're not related?
No.
It looks, and he was like in Caddyshack, too.
I didn't see it.
Him and Andrew.
Why would I see? Why would I see Caddyshack 2?
Well, you should. You should this weekend with nothing to do. Go watch Weekend at Bernie's and Weekend at Bernie's 2. Not because they're good, just because they put two movies out when the dead guy's just walking around and no one notices the guy's dead.
Why would you do a second one?
Because the first one made money.
Yeah.
No, obviously.
That's why you do a second one.
That's why.
You watch. You watch sequels.
Are you guys excited? Apparently, Hal Sutton has opened up a golf school here in Houston.
Okay, you know what? I have an actual golf thing for you.
I have
a Texans thing. First, let me say this.
He's opening an academy.
I'll say the Texans thing. No, based on PGA from yesterday, that was the most. One of the announcers, I was watching a wrap up show, and he said, "This is the most amount of long putts I've ever seen in the history of golf." In this round, I don't know if you're from. I didn't know if you realized this.
No,
there were like 14 putts that were made over 30 feet yesterday. He said there was like 7 over 40 feet. He said I have never in all of my years of playing and watching golf have I seen in one round this many long putts.
Yeah, I saw.
It was insane.
I saw Berger make a really long one. Yeah, it's probably just how great the greens are, how perfect the greens are.
Well, they were rolling. Yeah. I mean, you were getting some very true rolls yesterday.
Yeah,
it was an insane amount.
So these guys are so good. They can read the green so well. They put it on, you know, exactly where they want to. And you know what? It'll go in because they're that good.
Tiger had a 33-footer he made. It was no big deal. Like, 33, this is nothing.
That's nothing.
Yeah.
That's nothing for Tiger. 756 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here and talk some golf. Let's talk golf. Let's do the 8 o'clock hour is the golf hour right here. That is tomorrow right here on ESPN 97.5, the Charlie Epps Golf Hour. We're at 8 to 9.
Guys, he's just kidding.
Yeah, stay with us.
No,
chill, guys.
No, Charlie Epps Golf Hour is tomorrow.
Don't turn it. Yeah, tomorrow. But today, the 8 o'clock
hour. Well, why don't we do it today, too?
That's bad.
If the people love it.
What people?
The people love it.
I haven't gotten that impression.
What about Hal Sutton's new...
Who?
Hal Sutton, he's got a golf academy. Hey, what are you talking about? Who's Hal Sutton?
What am I talking about?
A great, an all-time great. All right?
At what? Golf?
At golf, yeah.
Never heard of him.
Never heard of Hal Sutton?
Never heard of him.
Wow.
Whatever.
Ignorance.
You might as well be like Larry.
I guess ignorance is knowledge now.
No, it's bliss. You know why it's bliss? Because I've never heard of Hal Sutton. I feel great.
You ever heard of Scottie Scheffler, like I told you yesterday?
Yeah, Adam Schefter's brother.
No, it's Scottie Scheffler, and he finished. It's Scheffler's.
Sure, you're not pronouncing it wrong.
No, it's Scheffler. Isn't that wasn't he in American Pie?
Stifler.
Oh, same thing. He was 4 under yesterday. Thank you. Good night.
His mom has some stuff.
Yeah, she likes to do stuff.
ESPN 97.5.
Hello, America. It's your new favorite podcast here.
Yes, it's James and Andy, 2/4 of the British podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do facts. We do weird facts, fun facts, facts you've never heard before. James, give us a fact.
Did you know you may be able to cure chronically blocked noses with a snot transplant?
Lovely, lovely facts.
If you want to hear us, go to wherever you get your podcasts and search for No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We'll see you there.